All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Interoperability Standards Work Group, likely our last work group, at least for this charge on USCDI version 5, draft version 5. I'm Seth Pazinski, I'm with ONC, and I will be your designated federal officer for today's call on behalf of Wendy Gambella. I want to remind everyone that all work group meetings are open to the public, and we welcome public feedback throughout. Members of the public can type comments in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting or make verbal comments during the public comment period that is scheduled towards the end of our agenda for today. I'm going to start with roll call of the workgroup members. So when I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are present, and I will start with our co-chairs.
Sarah DeSilly.
Present. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Steve Eigner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Pooja Babra.
Good morning.
Good morning. Shyla Blend. Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Medell Briggs Melanson.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Hans Bootendijk.
Good morning.
Good morning. Keith Campbell.
Good morning.
Good morning. Christina Caraballo.
Morning.
Good morning. Grace Cordovano. Raj Dash. Derek DeYoung.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lee Fleischer.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hannah Galvin. Raj Goodbarty.
Good morning.
Good morning. Jim Jurgis.
Present.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hung Liu.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Aaron Neinstein. Did get a message that Daya will not be able to make today's call. Rochelle Prosser.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Joel Andre.
Good morning.
Good morning. Bill Sutherland. Shelley Spiro.
Morning.
Good morning. Zeynep Sumar King.
Good morning.
Good morning. Harish Sundar Rajwan.
Good morning.
And Alex Muggy. All right, that completes our roll call. Thank you again, and please join me in welcoming Sarah and Ike for their opening remarks.
Good morning, everybody. We have a lot to do today. So my primary opening remark is thank you for all of the work that I can see was done on our recommendations over the last week. And you can see it's leaning, our agenda today is leaning into the level two data elements, trying to give them due diligence and then just review what we're going to be hoping, what we have to transmit over to HITECH in preparation for our April 11th meeting, understanding we can call back and return on the 9th if needed. Anything to add, dear Ike, co-pilot?
No, ma'am. I think you did a beautiful job as always. And again, I do want to extend my gratitude to the work group members for all the excellent work that you all have done thus far, where we can see the end of the project, and hopefully we'll get the stuff done today and ready for HITECH. Again, thank you all for your contributions.
Thank you so much, Ike. It's a pleasure to work with Ike. He's a great co-chair. okay, so we are changing our order a little bit in our meeting today. You can see we're going straight to level two. So next slide. This is the charge. So as to review and provide recommendations on draft USCDI V5. Again, this first part of the charge is the specific charge, which is to make sure that the ISWG reviews and provides recommendations on draft USCDI V5. I'm really grateful for all of the leadership and expertise that allowed us to complete this element. And we're just refining words now in the transmittal letter. And then we really do want to make sure that we spend most of the day today looking at those level two data classes and making sure that we give them review to elevate them from level two into draft use at IV5, as is the second part of our charge for ISWG. So we're gonna spend a couple moments just going through the slides of those level two elements, and then go straight to the share drive, the Google Doc to get base. And we're gonna be, Hans, we are gonna try to get to the general process elements at the end of the level two conversation. That was the way we thought we might get to it, even though it's not on the agenda, my apologies. Next slide. All right, so some of the elements have been addressed and we're just working on refining words. I do want to note that Dio and Hans and I met to refine some of the wording on health literacy status, and we'll review that. We have to finish our commentary, our review of the substance food element, review and touch upon the patient demographic elements that are in there, and some of them align with the gender harmony presentation our SMEs gave prior. I do want to note that for the sake of time, again, knowing that we need to get something to the high-tech co-chairs, which is Madel and I are on the call, prior to the end of the week, that we asked all of you to lean in and craft proposed recommendations just so we can hit the ground running. So when we go to the spreadsheet, you can see those there. Next slide. And then we did briefly touch base on health insurance information in the last meeting. Thank you, Mark, for gathering our prior recommendations from prior ISWG meetings there. We ever so briefly touched base on maternal SDOH notes, and thank you, Christina and Mark, for leaning in a recommendation there, bringing back some expert guidance we've had in the meeting prior. Briefly touched base on medication administration. We have yet to touch base on medication prescribed code. And then I think there's one more slide of level two elements, correct? Yeah, we have one more, next slide. Oh, I think this is it, yeah. So then we have, this is the device use, signature, assessment plan and treatment. There's a lot of correlating elements to other other elements on the currently in discussion. You can see correlates between assessment and plan and treatment and the care plan revisions. So hoping to synthesize as many of these as we possibly can in order to complete our work today. And I believe that this closing with the facility address is the last. You can see we have a lot of things we have yet to discuss. Luckily, some of them are things we've discussed in prior ISWG meetings, and I am grateful that even if we do not have Alex on the call, I can see there's a CMS. We do have some CMS colleagues on the call. So when it comes to elements that CMS elevated, we can lean into them for support. So ready to switch to the share drive, the share doc, so that we can start going. And if we can stop at the start at the top of the level two elements in general, just to refresh ourselves, that'd be great. Fantastic. And again, with the expectation that having addressed all the USCDIV5 elements, we're in fine tuning stage for those. So moving into, so luckily care plan was sufficiently addressed, I believe, and elegantly resolved in a lot of meetings offline. So this level two element, I think we actually are okay to skip if everyone agrees. And then moving on to the next. And I don't think I'm wrong on that, right? Health literacy status, there is an update here. If we can go to the final recommendation page, Dio and I realized in our summary recommendation, we confused the system a little bit because what we were wanting to lean into state, which is a guidance for centering the existing SDOH USCDI elements. You can see there's a revision here to the recommendation. So instead of recommending that health literacy be an additional element, just recommending that it's highlighted as one of the domains that Gravity Project has already addressed. And so therefore conceptually and with supporting standards, are already contained within the SDOH screening assessments, SDOH goals, SDOH conditions, and SDOH interventions value sets. So updating USCDI with gravity address domains and supporting implementers with ISA updates, it really is meeting the goal of health literacy in this submission from DIO that she elevated. Does that make sense? So we had stated that we recommended adding it as a unique element, and we realized that was a little bit confusing because it's contained within the gravity domain. So we revisited that over the course of last week. Mark?
So it does make sense to me to not to say that it's being added since it's already there, but none of the domains themselves are listed separately in USCDI. It's just the four SDOH data elements. And so I'm wondering if this is actually a more global recommendation that all domains should be somehow listed separately, or if the existing approach, which is just to list the four SDOH data elements, is sufficient and this isn't needed.
So what?
So I may be a little confused. I'm sorry.
My apologies, and we can clarify it. So the recommendation we got from our colleagues was, given the fact that the original submission from Gravity does not contain updated domains, it confuses implementers regarding what is contained within the elements of reference. So if annually we can update the domains that are in that submission with what has been addressed, it would assist in understanding what is supported by that each of the SDOH elements. Because as you are aware, because you helped track that for Gravity a long time ago, that was long before, and certainly the 19 domains that Gravity has addressed that include value sets across, guidance across all of those four activities are not up to date. So it's really just one, updating the submission itself so that it includes the additional domains that have been addressed, and continuing our work to support implementers with ISA. Is that helpful?
Yeah, it sounds like it may be targeted to health literacy here, but it sounds like a global recommendation.
Exactly. That's why it's an EG and not a specific call out. It's an example of a domain that would be included in that process.
Thank you.
Hans?
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm still then completely understanding based on the conversation of what we had and what we're trying to achieve. Because I was understanding that in UCDI version 3, we have the variety of the four main areas. Correct. And within those is health literacy and loin codes and other instruments are very specific ones. But depending on the system to be certified, HIT, general EHRs, specialty EHRs, there may be a different focus appropriate to support specific instruments that are listed in the Gravity implementation guide, or potentially other ones as well that are appropriate in that space. So UCDI version 3 provide a framework, and that the focus here was more to help clarify in ISA and other places that, hey, this is a set that Gravity has worked on that can be considered in the existing four main areas that are already in UCDI, and that we want to be careful in UCDI proper, if you will, to get too specific, certainly at this point in time, because is it appropriate for every certified HIT to support everything that is explicitly listed? The four categories overall provide a framework overall, but are we getting too specific with loin codes and otherwise that may not be appropriate for all HIT that would like to be certified, but certainly needs to be considered and is an option to be included to support SDOH in general.
It looks like Al's raising his hand, but Hans, that was kind of the intention of this recommendation as reframed. So if it doesn't meet that intention, please, anyone's welcome to go in and tweak it. Medell?
And Sarah, just to clarify where that is, it's that the SDOH intervention, the USCDI is to add. And that's, I think, the part where it is confusing as to how much is actually in UCDI proper versus the other part, the last sentence, ISWG furthermore supports. I thought it was the intent that that's the primary thing that we wanted to achieve, to have that transparency and clarity, but not necessarily by explicitly enumerating in your CDI, which I think is in, also in line with Mark's comments that he was just making. So that's where...
I think we agree in principle was not to call out specific domains of reference, but to ensure that in the submission, I think Al can help here, and because I'm trying to integrate ONC's guidance on this, but just to call out the domains that have been addressed and could possibly be contained within the SDOH elements and ensure that ICE is updated on a regular basis. So however we need to phrase that to achieve that end. And Madel, I want to make sure I center you.
Thank you, Sarah. And thank you for all of the already the comments on this, because I also had some questions of clarification, especially before Al jumps in. One of the things that I think is very important, especially as we continue to transform into a country in which addressing all the social drivers of health directly from our EHRs are so incredibly important. Not only are they important just for patient care, but they're important from a regulatory standpoint, as we know, coming directly down from CMS, Joint Commission, and numerous other state regulatory entities. And so I too was just trying to understand how we're trying to structure this, because I hear one piece of saying, of course, our standard SDOH standards, they have these elements, but they're not as explicitly defined, and they also need to be updated. And so are we saying that what we are recommending is ensuring that the current pillars that are within the SDOH standards are updated and also updated continuously in order to address the needs of all certified health IT, as well as those entities that are using it? And so just wanted to make sure we're all very clear, because some of these domains also need to be directly taken out just due to some of the extra levels of complexity and what we're starting to move towards also in terms of using data to really drive health equity and justice. But yet also we do want to have the minimum standards that, of course, are included in the US CDI, so that everyone can actually ensure that they are pulling in those data elements and that they're as interoperable as possible. So just also wanted some clarification on what we are suggesting as a work group, so that we are A, having the correct standards of SDOH that are included, B, we're updating them on a frequent basis as we continue to evolve, but yet we're also making sure that they are as interoperable as possible. So not too specific, but allowing for that specificity as needed.
Thank you, Madel. And before Al leans in, I just want to state the base problem, which is that health literacy was in part, it wasn't an existing level two. Gravity has addressed health literacy as a domain. So within the work of Gravity, there's evidence-based guided collations of values of instruments, diagnoses, goals, and interventions, but neither the submission nor ISA reflect that at this time. And so that was what the statement is trying to resolve, that confusion that there are standards to support this. And so Madel, I hear you. And so Al, is it given that Al's created guidance? Al, do you want to lean in?
Please. thanks. I had a question so first of all, the text, I wasn't sure if the text that is in the second half of this cell has been changed, because that was what I had before a week and a half ago when I first put the draft letter together. If there were any recommended changes to that text.
Everything's been changed since this, as of this morning. So,
okay.
Yes.
So we will transcribe those changes into the letter, obviously, but I had a question. Maybe it would be good to clarify this. The word include, I'm not sure what that means as far as a recommendation goes.
And I think the wording of it, again, I tried to synthesize the Dio's and Hans's and my conversations over the course. However, it needs to be addressed. I think the idea is if you look at the existing SDOH activity, SDOH domain submissions across the four activities, there were representative domains of reference in that submission, and they're no longer aligned with what exists. So however we need to support implementers in USCDI and ISA with understanding the domains that are included in guidance across USCDI and ISA, is great. If include is the wrong word, happy to edit accordingly.
And I can imagine that include means call out as a specific example for one. And I did want to mention something to address Hans's question or statement about what is required of EHRs. We intentionally placed examples separate from the definition so that we would not convey the impression that every EHR must include these domains. It makes sense to include at least those three domains that we currently list because they're such a core part of SDOH care. But adding an example or several examples or, you know, referencing the gravity work would not change the requirement for EHRs, only guiding them towards these are some things that, you know, might be useful to customers or maybe required in certain care settings. So that the EHRs would support the care settings. So adding an example would only just add attention to that example, not add a requirement to EHRs.
Thank you.
This is Steve, just to add in, thinking about the recommendation for annually updating, just making sure we're consistent with the way USCDI elements are added through the on-deck process, mm-hmm. and how are they being inserted, how are new elements being inserted into that process. If there's not an element included in a level two or included in an on-deck submission, it may not be appropriate to update it or it's, we've changed the underlying process.
So Steve, I think we're getting a little, because you're talking about calling out specific elements, I believe, and we're speaking to representative example elements. And I can assure you the process that we're speaking of here would include going directly through OnDeck, like not deviating from correct.
Because I guess I was looking at the language and plainly stated, recommend that ONC annually update the SDOH USCDI elements to include additional completed gravity project social risk domains.
Correct. So that would happen too, yes.
I was calling into question with my question is that reading it plainly looked to me like the elements out of SUH would be included for additional risk domains. So I was just trying to think about what that process looked like for how do they get included into OnDeck or as a level two element for inclusion. It looked like I wasn't sure what the process would be for including it, if that made sense.
Yeah, we can specify the process in the recommendation. And again, just for the sake of time, I know we have a lot to address in level two. We can refine the wording, but I think what we did over the course of last week was walk back on, our language was confusing because our language seemed to support a specific element for health literacy, which was not the outcome of the collaboration between Dio and Hans and myself, right? It was more to call out that it's confusing because health literacy was available as a level two, but it's also been addressed and has support through implementation through gravity. So wanting to clarify a path forward. Hans?
Thank you. And now thank you, Al, for clarifying. And that certainly helps because what I'm hearing from that, which would align very nicely, is to say is that the recommendation is centered around including as an example, where the example is a such as, not a includes and there can be more. So it's not meant to be that you have to support everything, but that they are good examples and more clarified. And then you can look up in gravity and other places as to, okay, what are the instruments specifically? So I think along those lines that Al described, it would be helpful because that does not require that all HIT that wish to be certified needs to support all domains that are enumerated in some fashion. And that's
Yeah, it sounds like inserting the word example makes a lot of sense. And I, you know, if Hans, I'm going to call on you, if you can help edit that in real time, given that I'm trying to do multiple hats at once. And then it also, I think that actually solves the include element as well. So the example comment addresses a few concerns. And if we want to talk about how the process element to support Ike, I think that addresses Ike's concern. And then Medell, I hope we have clarity on the how. This is not to say that specific SDOH elements that are super, super critical across, when I think about the top, you know, the CMS, HHS top five, right? Like food insecurity, transportation insecurity, housing insecurity, utility insecurity, and then social isolation are really, really critical ones. We see them across regulatory drivers. It's not to say that you can't call out those specifically in future guidance, but for right now, given the need to clarify what exists in the ecosystem, this just thought is a good first step. Are we feeling good?
I'll try to craft something.
Thank you. Over. Madel, did my statement make sense? Did we resolve some of the complexity of my confusing language?
It did. We just need to make sure that the language is clear. And I think having that, we already have some of these various different standards that include things such as, and will continue to evolve throughout the additional upcoming versions. Just having that clear language is going to be key. So great. Yes, it does.
Wonderful. And I can attest that each of the ISA pages for the domains of reference include links to all regulatory, all aligned guidance for every single domain, again, to assist implementers. So from an ISA side, we got that covered. All right. So I think we can keep on going. I think we quickly down to specimen collection date and time, just for the sake of, again, I want to make sure that we touch upon at least all of level two. I think we actually addressed this one. If we go back to the final recommendation, I think we were at a clarity on the final recommendation there. Any further comment there? Wonderful. If we can, again, so now I want to make sure we touch upon all the level two elements. We had had some conversation on the adding substance food in as a specific non-medication substance. We did substance non-medication in prior ISWGs and prior USDIV versions, but there was agreement that I heard on calling out specifically substance food. However, I don't see if we go to the final recommendation column. I don't see a final recommendation there yet. How are we feeling on the substance food? Because it would be in column M. Or is it in the workgroup discussion? Oh, here we go. So Shelley, was that, so the in the comment that you have here would recommend including, is that a final recommendation or do we need to still craft that?
As I said, this is Shelley, as I said before, it's, that would be my recommendation because normally when we do allergy intolerance, we break them into the three categories of medications, food, and environmental.
Mm-hmm. And we have, okay.
But I mean, it's good to do because many of the systems use those three designations as indicated. Okay.
And at present, I believe that only substance food is a level two, right? So this is the only one that's eligible for addition. Mm-hmm. So this would, if it's simply an addition because of the conversation we had before, it wouldn't require a final recommendation comment, right? Because if we all agree that it should be there, it's a level two, right? Well, we actually would, it's a level two. We might have to draft something. I'm just trying to keep us going. Are we all in agreement that elevating substance food into is from level two to USDI is something we want to do? All right. And I do think, again, my apologies in my trying to make sure I'm doing the facilitation bit. Because it's a level two, we are going to have to draft a final recommendation because it's not USDIV 5 bulk include, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So I do need someone to take lead on drafting a final recommendation. There can be very straightforward.
I can do that. This is Shelley. I can do that.
Thank you so much. Are we all in agreement that we should do that?
Shelley, if you want help, this is Ike. I'm happy to do so.
Thank you.
Ike, if you could just review what I put in, that would be great.
Awesome.
But we're doing this in real time, Sarah, right? It's going to be done right now, and we're going to look at it. So we're done. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. I want people to go in there and do that. I wish I was smart enough and had enough hands to do it myself. Al?
Just as this recommendation is being drafted, I would suggest that it includes some additional information or discussion about why food should be separated out from non-medication, just as a suggestion.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Alan. I believe that was part of the discussion we had last week, because Shelley was calling out how they think about allergies from a specific non-medication allergies from a subtype perspective, and this was the first step. And I believe that can be contained in the recommendation. So thank you so much. All right, I think we are ready to move on. And again, if someone can ping me when we have the recommendation is so straightforward, but if someone can ping me when the recommendation is ready and we want to revisit it. So the next element was family health history. And again, if we go over to the final recommendation, I believe, thank you for taking lead on that. And again, because it's a level two element, we did need to draft recommendation. This is incredibly straightforward. And thanks for giving the example of how to do an incredibly succinct level two recommendation and mark that. Any concerns with, Al, you still have your hand up. Do you have anything else you want to?
I thought it automatically went down after I started making noise. Sorry.
It's back up again. Any conversation on family health history as a level two element elevated to USCDIV 5? I believe we touched upon it. Are we all in agreement that it should proceed?
Oh. If there's recommendations about a specific definition, examples, usage notes, or applicable standards, which I don't believe that there's any applicable standards, there might be. If there's any specific recommendations about how the entire data element should be crafted, that would be good to put in the recommendation as well.
Thank you, Al. I, for the sake of ensuring, I'm going to try to come back. Oh, Mark?
I was just going to volunteer to try to do that in real time. I'm not sure about value sets, but I'll definitely be able to include the definition and I'll do my best.
Thank you, Mark. So Hans is again, my apologies to the person who's driving. We're going to be bopping up and down a little bit. So Hans has let us know that the language was revised in my awkward language was revised in the health literacy element. If we can just quickly revisit that and make sure individuals are content with the clarification, I'm sure it's better than what I had. So if we go up.
It's an N19 next to it, so.
Oh, N, okay, so if we can go over one column.
Yeah, and then you can compare contrast.
Additional, perfect. It's an example of part of the SDOH assessment data element. Are we just talking about assessments, Hans? It's through all four.
Oh.
Yeah, so all four of the activities, all four of the SDOH elements contain health literacy guidance. The language of this looks beautiful. I would just, are people in agreement? I think this is much clearer than what I wrote.
Do you prefer SDOH elements or?
That's fine. Yeah, I think so. Do we agree that SDOH elements is sufficient to represent the four elements across that are SDOH relevant? Great. For the sake of clarity, we might want to spell it out the first time and then we can do that and then use the acronym later. I feel like this resolves, so I believe this is clearer than what I wrote. Does everyone else agree? Great, thank you. Thank you. Content always improved by good editors. And thank you so much. If everyone's agreed, it's perfect. So now we're gonna revisit. Teamwork makes the dream work. So now we're gonna revisit health insurance information. I wanna thank, so if we go over to the final recommendation, again, I do not see Aaron here, But this was a fairly straightforward process because this is something ISWD has covered in the past. And so Mark very kindly went back. You know, this is the bonus of having legacy ISWD members who've been around to help us with what ISWDs have said prior, Mark.
So I misspoke last call. So I just wanted to call out that this is not repeating a prior recommendation. This is a recommendation to add additional level two data elements to an existing data class. Everything else I think is straightforward, but I just wanted to say that out loud, that it's additional, not the same. Thank you.
Fantastic. So now, given the fact that can we have discussion on this element? How do we feel about the addition of the remaining level two elements into the health insurance information data class? Derek?
Yeah, I agree with the importance of it. My worry is more in the implementation and usability of it in the current state of the world, I'll say. Because what are we trying to drive with the plan name, plan identifier? Because those will be very inconsistent across, even within a single EHR, like health system across from Epic's perspective, even across different instances of Epic, if we're pulling that from health systems. Providers consistently make their own payer records and plan records to represent their contracts with the health plan. So those plan identifiers will be useless outside of that health system. So I'm just curious what we're trying to drive with exchanging that, where I can understand maybe product type, if that's what we're trying to get to from plan, because from a health plan perspective, health plans will have thousands of health plans, sometimes from employer to employer. But potentially what we're trying to get to is product type of, is this an HMO, PPO, is this Medicare Advantage? Is that what we're trying to get to? Because my worry is plan and plan identifier is not very useful information, especially if we're pulling it from a health system's understanding and record. If we're pulling it from a health plan, that's a different conversation. But from a health system, I worry about this.
Thank you. One of the things I want to highlight is that, you know, oftentimes when we hit things like this, that when it comes to implementation, are not quite ready for go live, we pull those two out. So what I hear is there's little concern regarding coverage period, policy number, Medicare payer identifier, payer name, right, and group name. But there's
even payer name and group name. I don't think group name is consistently documented on the provider side. I know it can be sent in RTE, real-time eligibility. But again, then the source of truth of that is the payer. It can be stored in the health system side, but that's, I would not say consistently, the group number would be stored more consistently than the group name. The payer name, again, will be, if we're pulling it from the provider system, inconsistent across providers. I mean, for some of the national payers, it may be somewhat consistent. If you're doing population health or some research things, you could say name includes Humana or name includes United, but the exact names will differ from provider to provider. Medicare patient identifier, I think that's a good one for sure. That could be added. That's consistently documented. Coverage period is also one where I don't know how accurate that will be. Sometimes when the provider is creating a coverage for the first time, the start date will be the date that they just documented that coverage. And then they won't include an end date where maybe it's already been, the coverage is actually valid for, a year before that. So it's not going to be necessarily accurate because it hasn't needed to be accurate except for billing purposes on the health system side. So just worry a little bit about some of these. Again, if we're pulling this from a health plan, these make 100, these all make sense. But if we're pulling these from a health system, the accuracy of these elements, I would not vouch for because they're the only reason some of these are collected are for billing purposes. today. And agree, I just wanted to bring up, I'm reading some of the chats. I wanted to bring up just some of the concerns about the area. I think they are important and can drive a lot of usability, but there will be vast inconsistencies across health systems with these.
Hi, can you jump in?
Did I drop too?
Can we just go ahead? Yeah.
Did our moderators both
go ahead?
It looks like, yeah, it looks like Pooja's technically next, but that's okay. Go ahead, Hans, and then I'll go after.
So I would like to echo some of Derek's comments, but primarily focus on the plan identifier, because that's indeed one that is much more internally defined. As part of FHIR US Core in support of US CDI version 4, which is going through its final steps, so not much will change. A number of these fields are already in there. But that does not mean that that's going to mean that everybody is going to consistently do it. That's still the concerns that Derek raises. But a five-year score is already starting to put them in as must supports as part of coverage. So I think that the ones to really look out for are plan identifier, and that is a question of what does it mean. It's almost like a medical record number of a patient. It varies by whomever you are. It's not consistent across the board. So is that one that we really can promote at this point in time? Other ones, I think as part of the recommendation, we should make clear that work is needed to help address consistency, to help address that it's from the source and not filled in differently by a provider otherwise. The other last one is a Medicare patient identifier, depending on how we look at it, which is not necessarily a problem for USCDI. But it is, it can already be covered in the identifier that is available to identify that it's a Medicare patient identifier. I presume that's the same as Medicare beneficiary identifier. I'm always confused because I hear MBI and I sometimes see MPI, but I believe it's intended to be the same. We do need to have a little bit more work that we consistently know that N identifier is actually a Medicare identifier by knowing who is the payer and otherwise. So caution to be had on consistency, plan identifier, I'm not convinced that that is currently a proper one to include. Other ones are already starting to be addressed.
So I'll just add to that. Yeah, I think so for my, I think this is already said in the chat, but then I think this is really important to keep in. And I think let's limit it then, you know, to kind of keep the conversation going to maybe the ones that Hans identified that are already part of V4. So that would be my suggestion as a compromise or, you know, to a way to bring this forward, because I do think this is important to include.
Hi, everyone. I also think it's incredibly important. Sorry if I jumped in. I can't see if there's a hand there. I also think this is incredibly important, but I definitely recognize what both Derek and Hans are referring to with the inconsistency of health plans. And Hans, you mentioned the plan's ID. Does that also include the products within each health plan? Do we have specific identifiers for that? Because that may also go directly within our recommendation. So what I mean by that is that let's say that we have, you know, Anthem, but of course we know that Anthem also has various different subproducts underneath Anthem, whether it's Medicare Advantage, Medi-Cal, you know, all of those different aspects. Do we have sub-identifiers for each of the products also that the health plans have?
Currently in FHIR US Core, there is a coverage type, and there has been in the payer some discussion around types. So there are elements of that to be able to identify. Is it Medicare, Medicare Advantage, et cetera, et cetera? So there are elements already addressed. So the question is that if we do this, we should have a look a little bit more about what is already there and what is missing from that, what is not able to address that, and make sure that when we say product type, is that covered by, for example, coverage type, and is it covered by payer class or coverage class? Some of those elements that are in there that are currently going through final review and then publication over the next month or two, I think, three, maybe.
Thank you.
My apologies, I lost internet service and got bumped Vermont. I am back. Are we still discussing the insurance elements? I assume so, based on the conversation.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Hung, I can see that you have your hand up. Thank you for allowing me to re-enter and assist in facilitation.
So my question was around how will the CMS prior authorization final rule impact the need for the health insurance information data elements? I mean, 2026 is around the corner, so I assume people have been thinking about how to work towards the requirements that that final rule states. And so have we, you know, thought about how to communicate the eligibility and the prior authorization requirements beyond the EHR of origination? I mean, patients are portable, and so they are moving around, and that the information around whether or not there is a prior authorization for a certain test or procedure is or medication is important to have. And so I see this as an important data element to help support that. Am I wrong? I mean, am I misunderstanding something?
I don't think you're misunderstanding. This is Derek. I'll just hop in. I don't think you're misunderstanding it at all. I think one of the challenges, and we've provided feedback with the CMS final rule as well, that one of the biggest needs in this space is a national payer directory, so that there can be consistency in this. Otherwise, even with the CMS final rule for 2027, there will be a lot of one-to-one implementations of providers and payers needing to map their internal payer and plan records to some endpoints that, you know, need to be loaded into their system to communicate these things. Also, just because we can exchange this information between health systems doesn't mean that health systems will necessarily stop communicating with health plans to verify coverage information using existing standards like real-time eligibility, because those are HIPAA mandated transaction sets that exist today. But they can help that process of potentially identifying, you know, this may be a coverage that we can query for, so that'll be a helpful thing to add.
I'm going to ask for a census because I was, again, bumped out of the meeting for a period of time. I hear a couple different recommendations on the floor. So one is adopting the recommendation as it stands, and another to adopt it with edits and taking out elements that are not deemed ready for implementation at this time. Is that what I'm hearing? And if that's the case, Hans, you have your hand up. If I see some people in the chat speaking to you regarding this. So if someone can catch me up again, my apologies, because I literally lost service for a little bit and I'm back, Hans, and then we can move this one forward. It looks like recommendation in general from most of these concepts, some concerns with some of them. Hans?
I was actually just typing because as we were possibly going to the next topic. Hung's question is that CMS recommends the use of DaVinci guides that are there. That includes coverage. And when you look at those two, coverage between the DaVinci guide and the FHIR US Core, they're very close. I cannot say right now exactly the same, but they're very close. I think that maybe the phrasing of the recommendation can be enhanced and with a little bit of work. Happy to work with Derek or others to see where we can clarify that. Where do we need to focus to make this better? Where I would still look at plan identifier to be concerned about, but the other ones is much more about how can we make sure that they're consistent and can easily be used to reach out for prior auth for other purposes as well. So what is missing? I'm not sure that means your CDI is missing anything, but it's the implementation of them to make sure that with everything else, it works as Derek indicates.
So I hear the thing, the element. So I hear go forward as it is. I hear go forward, but remove plan identifier, and then ensure that our recommendation includes the implementation complexity that Derek is speaking to. Because again, it doesn't have to be perfect in implementation for us to make the recommendation, because the recommendation drives the alignment, right? So am I understanding that correct? So like, is this where, are those the options we have on the table? All the elements as they state and all the elements except plan identifier? Am I hearing correctly again, catching up?
Yep.
Sarah, yes.
Bueller, thank you so much. So could I just have like a show of hands for leaving it as it is, the first one, and then next I'm going to do it, leaving it, taking out plan identifier. So show of hands, who wants to have the recommendation as it stands right now with all the elements on the list? So I see two. Show of hands for those of you, for those of the work group who want to remove plan identifier and otherwise include all the others. Okay, so that is a clear consensus on that one. And then I do hear there can be improvements in the guidance to represent. Again, Derek, thank you so much for we have a couple really thoughtful, practical implementation considerations, and maybe we can work on the recommendation to include some of that perspective, because that's what we do, right? ISWD adds expert advice from our different perspectives. Does that sound like a good plan for next steps? Is trying to, Hans, I heard you leaning into that.
I'd be happy to help with whomever is.
Thank you so much. Right. So moving forward, but taking out plan identifier and then a little tweaking to the final recommendation. Again, that is sufficient. I mean, I think if we have time to do it today, that would be lovely. I do know that there's a lot to get done today, though. But just know, thank you so much for leading that. And so I believe now we're ready to move on to the next element, which is the maternal social determinants of health note. And I believe Christina and Mark were drafting the text recommendation for that one. It's a beautiful recommendation, by the way. Christina, instead of the last 30 seconds of the ISWD, I'm happy to hear your perspective on this element, and thank you so much. Oh, you're muted.
Oh, sorry. Thanks. And Mark, please chime in as well. I think it would be great if people just take the time to review what is written. Mark and I spent the last couple of days just chatting through email, but basically this was identified as a major high priority. With maternal mortality rates extremely high within this country, we're seeing a lot of attention from the White House and priorities to address maternal mortality. And it's extremely noteworthy that it impacts African American and Alaskan Native Indigenous American women more, with death rates. So really looking at health equity as well. And I see in the chat, could we move the recommendation to the left so people could read it on the screen? Thanks. So that was just identifying as a high priority, the reason we think that this should be brought up into version 5. There is also a second recommendation, recognizing that we cannot put forth new data classes and that is not our charge. We did add a recommendation that ONC explore the presentation of data elements in USCDI specific to maternal health, considering what a high priority this is. And this could be in the form of a new data class, such as maternal and newborn health. and or identifying a way to identify and mark the necessary data elements. This goes back to a couple of our discussions we've had throughout the course of this work group on how do we bring forth new data classes? Are they new data classes? Is there a way to identifying? So recommendation here is just highlighting the importance of maternal health more broadly than just the maternal health social determinants of health note, and tasking, recommending that ONC take a closer look in their next iterations. Mark, did you have anything to add?
Nope. Very important.
Thank you so much. Hannah?
Thanks. Is there any recommendation, or do we have any recommendation about how this is used in the maternal record versus the infant record, or both, right? There's a lot of kind of thought or concern about how some of the maternal data then is incorporated into the infant record. And that may be beyond the scope of what we're doing here, but where we have a lot of this information, which is extremely important information to the maternal record, I think it begs the question a little bit about how this would be incorporated in the shared record with the infant. And I don't know if we want to speak to that at all, or at least make recommendations that that might be looked into in relation to this data element.
Mark, I know you had brought up in our discussion some of the stage zero data elements around this. Did you have a comment on Hannah's question?
Sorry, I was focusing on family health history when Hannah said what was very important. I apologize. Hannah, could you please just say it again? Forgive me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, I think my question really was if we had any recommendations on how this data element would be incorporated in the shared record with the infant, right, or the infant record as well. Because a lot of it is relevant to the infant's record, and yet there are some privacy considerations, sensitive data considerations. Right. And I don't know, that may be beyond the scope, but I think also important as we consider these additional data elements as well.
So the question is entirely, you know, is important and entirely valid. We, in the short time we, Christine and I had, we did not see a way within our scope to try to pull the different data classes together, and thought it actually would benefit from having ONC look at this, hence recommendation 13, and consider how best to synthesize those things. That's why you have a more general recommendation on 13 without getting into the details.
Totally fair.
Yeah. Thank you. Mattel?
Very quick comment. Again, I completely thank the two of you for putting this together and completely support it. As one of the individuals who's helping to lead to address maternal morbidity and mortality across the entire University of California health system, and especially by using our data, this would be incredibly helpful for us to address this horrible epidemic that's been plaguing our country for decades. And so I think the general recommendations are spot on, because there's a lot of work that we still need to do in this space. And also thinking about specifically maternal mortality actually exists even up to 42 days after delivery. That's how we also define it. So really gathering those specific maternal social drivers of health are going to be incredibly important for us to prevent mortality and morbidity. So thank you. And I completely support this in every way.
Thank you so much. Ike?
A minor word edit in the second line of the U.S. maternal piece, looking at maternal social determinants health note, does what existing clinical notes do not, period. It supports collection of the most critical elements, is suggested text. Also, I think there's an opportunity to link or connect the element here with USCDI Plus and some recommendations about ensuring that USCDI Plus includes additional information about maternal and child health issues. So that's an opportunity to link the two together, because it's a cross-cutting issue, not just from a USCDI perspective, but also from a USCDI Plus perspective with public health interests.
Thank you so much.
So we can add to 13 that we recommend ONC also explore adding this to USCDI Plus as part of their process in the current recommendation.
Yeah,
the text change.
Yeah, those are minor edits. Just to clarify that it doesn't, the element or the new element added or the new class added doesn't require collection, but it supports collection of it because it's just because it's the note, it's not distinct data elements.
Fantastic. And then just for the sake of, we do have, we're a little bit behind in our schedule and we do have a lot to address today. So it, Rochelle?
Very quickly, thank you so much. In changing the recommendation in the word so that we can incorporate the infant into the data collection, because where the mother goes, so does the infant, and both are in consideration when we care for both. Can we add the word infant under the title or within the quotes of maternal social determinants of health notice to update it to maternal and infant social determinants of health notice? And I think that will at least begin the discussion and the consideration in having that unification or separate data collection that is collaborative for both the infant and the mother.
Or at least linked collection.
Yes, at least linked. And just to begin that process, I know that it's going to take a hot minute to get it going, but if we can at least start that thought process.
So I heard a separate recommendation in there. Sarah, if we're going to recommend a name change to the note, should we vote on that? And I see Mark has his hand up.
Mark, do you want to help?
Well, I wanted to check. This is a part of what Christina and I were talking about. This, the note is a focus note. It doesn't cover everything, hence the recommendation for data class. I'm not sure that the note includes all that we'd want around infants, even though that's obviously critical. We can't, so what I haven't checked out yet is whether we're then changing a level two data element. So I can, if you want to defer and I can try to look quickly, but I don't know as we're talking right now.
Yeah, because that might be in the realm of additional submissions for future consideration. I mean, that was actually, I think it was Rochelle who was saying that. I just want to make sure that we don't deviate too far from the original recommendation in level two.
Right. The other approach, this is like real fast, would be to include a suggestion as part of recommendation 13 to include exploration of expansion into infants is more of a general recommendation kind of approach.
That makes sense. So because that is in the realm of guidance as opposed to direct referencing. Hans?
I have two questions. One is that is the intent of recommendation 12 that it becomes an other clinical note type as we're talking, if I hear correctly, a narrative note, is that where it is a different type as we have talked about emergency operating procedure, et cetera, is that where it belongs? And or how does it relate to the earlier discussion on overall social determinants of health? Is this another domain space that that is also across all four elements, but now in a particular context of maternal and infant context? So I'm trying to get a little clarification on how it relates, where it would go, where it would fit in those two areas.
Mark, you have your hand raised. You also put it in the comment in the chat, but I think, so it is distinct insofar that it's a clinical note as opposed to one of the existing SDOH elements. It would leverage similar data though, correct, Mark?
Yes, and my hand was raised to go back to the point about infants.
Oh, great. Okay, so Hans, I hope I answered your question because it's in the notes class and that's not a place that the existing SDOH elements exist. And then Mark, do you want to go back to infants?
Yes. So I think the language of the note that's on the US on the level two website is broad enough to, especially because, you know, infant or just before prenatal care is definitely a part of maternal care. It's probably broad enough to include a word like that in our recommendation without exceeding what's stated at level two. That'd be my opinion.
So can someone summarize the findings for this? So I hear general approval for this, for elevating the level two element to USCIG 5, given the critical nature of the concern. I hear some comments on wording in the text of the core recommendation, recommendation 12. I hear some comments on suggestive next steps in the general recommendation in column 13. Including but not limited to the exploration of infant elements in the class. And so is that fair?
One suggestion that in the main line of the recommendation, recommend that ONC add, that it's clearly indicated in there that it's added to clinical notes. And then the explanation for highlights that as well. Otherwise, okay, I'd lost. At least I didn't totally catch it.
Fantastic. That makes a lot of sense. Everyone agree?
I will do that right now.
I want to thank Mark and Christina for doing lots of heavy lifting on this. So Rochelle, we use, that's a really discussion on determinants or drivers. We used CMS, not even clear on this. It differs.
It's not me. I'm just going to acknowledge Madel. Madel is the one that was talking about it. And so since my adding in the word infant caused that discussion, I wanted to also edify what she's saying and say, will this actually change the level two status of this question if we change determinants to drivers or social needs?
I do recommend that we keep our wording consistent, though, because if we're using determinants in one area of USCDI, I think we should probably keep it consistent in others, don't we? Or am I?
Sarah, I can jump in there, and thank you, Rochelle. I don't think we need to change it for this piece, but in general, I think ONC knows how I feel about the term drivers, and as well as many of our additional federal agencies have moved away from the term determinant because it's so fatalistic and seems so fixed. So even CMS has moved away from the term determinant. So I was just providing a general recommendation, especially for we as not only this work group, but for overall HITACH. So just to continue to encourage ONC to no longer adopt the term determinant and for us to update our language to drivers and or social needs that is more reflective of how dynamic all of these elements are and that they are not fixed in their occurrences and presence. So that's all, just one of those general recommendations, but thank you all.
Yes, and unfortunately, like we did a landscape analysis. It's, there's a lot of, I think, hopefully we will get to a point of clarity, but it even in, like if you look at the IQR versus emerging measures, there's a lot of discrepancies in how it's named, and gravity's ready to lean in and support whatever is finally landed on. But the ecosystem is still in flux there. All right. So again, happy to have any updates to elements align with whatever the ecosystem finally lands on. And I believe that are we okay with this recommendation at this time? Are we good? All right, and so then I believe you updated family health history. Mark, you want to revisit that really quick?
Yes, so if you want to go back up. So to Al's question, I quickly went into and used language that's from the certification criterion, so I'm not making this up. So the definition is there. The usage note about is also from the criterion, certification criterion language, and the standards is also from there. So it provides it provides some granularity to the basic recommendation as Al had requested.
Thank you. Are we agreed on the revision of the element here? It looks good to me. Thank you so much, Mark. I think we're getting close. I know I'm pulling us past our agenda and to try to get all these level two elements set. And then I'm not going to put you on the spot, Joel, if you're still on, but there are a fair bit of things that CMS, Joel is still on. All right, so I think Shelley, you wrote a really beautiful recommendation on portable medical order, which is lovely. How are we feeling on this? Is partly contained in the work we did on advanced healthcare directive information, and it partly was aligned with Maria Moen's presentation. How are we feeling on this recommendation as it stands?
This wasn't work that I just did. This was also with Mark,
fantastic, Ricky
and Hans.
Thank you so much. Any concerns with the recommendation as it stands? Lovely. And then Pooja, I hope it's okay to revisit now if we're ready to move on. I want to touch base on the medication elements and some confusion regarding that, that I believe we were going to circle back around with and then come back to the meeting with a resolution on, correct? Because if you look at the...
I think there was just one that there was confusion. And now I think since Al is on, administration, because we already have it as a level one data element. I don't know if we can move the spreadsheet.
Oh, I think it's right above, it's right above.
Or am I just not seeing it?
Well, it is in, I believe it's actually, it's the next element right above. If you go to the left, this element, medication administration, I believe was the question because we already had it. Was that the thought?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And Shelley, I see you have your hand.
You yourself were confused why it was here.
Right.
if you look at level two, it's medication administration route. That's what was confusing us. We thought it was just medication administration, but it's supposed to be medication administration route, and we needed a clarification from Al.
So Al, can you help weigh in on this one?
Is the question about this data element as entered?
Yes.
I'm not the one who entered it, but medication administration is if Pooja's intent was to advance medication administration route, that's something that's already being proposed.
Right. That's why I think I was confused. So I think I'm okay just removing this one. Yeah, because route's already in.
It's in draft. Yeah, this question has come up by others, including and especially CMS, who had requested and recommended addition of medication administration as sort of a separate event from other kinds of medication activities. Hopefully I said that right. Were you the one that entered it, Pooja?
No, I wasn't. Okay. I had my name by me, but
I think it was recommended by, I see. It has in the past been recommended by CMS.
There is some commentary below. Joel is on the call. So in row 29 of the spreadsheet currently.
Yeah, there it is.
There is medication prescribed code. Joel, you're on the call. I'm sorry, you asked for CMS and Joel's right there. Joel, can you help us here? I'm sorry to skip people.
Yeah, I see how it is.
Yeah.
I have forgot. I will try to do my best. Right. So, I mean, I think the distinction here is that we fundamentally see this as a distinct action within the medication process. Yes, you have dose and route data elements, are recommended separately. But the actual administration of the medication, that is not that it's been prescribed, not that it's been ordered, but that it's actually been administered, is a point, not just for, I should say, for CMS, but also for CDC in terms of being able to track the track information related to dose response, quality of care, public health response. So the actual administration of the medication is frankly something that we see as a thing that's a gap in addressing medication data, and one that requires us to engage in a number of workarounds for how we use medication data currently, because frequently we have to use proxy data elements. Yes, it was prescribed. Does that mean that it was actually taken? No, not necessarily. And of course, this enters some weakness into our utilization of the data elements. Administration is, I mean, basically it falls down to the point of entry for the medication to the patient. We know the patient has actually received the medication and taken it. So I think for the purpose of, improving the specificity of quality measurement, better enabling us to monitor response patterns to public health events, we're pushing for this to be its own independent and distinct data element.
Thank you, Joel. I believe, there were a set of CMS requested level two elements that happened right at the wire of our level two element submission. So my apologies to not getting to them prior. So I believe did this help clarify, Shelley and Pooja, the question?
No. And this is Shelley, maybe I can elaborate on why I say no. Are you talking about medication administration status? That would make more sense. What we're doing moving forward, we have a project going on to codify the medication fire resources, which would include all of the data elements in medication, but to create what we call a medication type, a medication list type. So all the medications that would fall into medication administration, like a record, like a MAR, an electronic medication administration record, you would then be able to classify all those medications using the medication fire resource and put it in the bucket of the medication administration type, which would then show that it was administered. And that's what I would believe, unless you want to change it to medication administration status. Was it administered or wasn't administered? That would make more sense to me. But just having medication administration doesn't tell me what you're trying to record as a data element.
Can I ask a question? I wonder if, I believe actually in last year's ISWD, there were so many significant concerns and regarding medications that came up that we wanted to have to have CMS and the federal government, and ONC huddle on what needs to be built out into USCDI. And then we had the pharmacy work group, right? So it seems, I wonder if we just need to make sure that we specifically lead into that for us for considerations for next year, or do we feel ready? So it looks like Al, is it to capture the process and procedure of giving medication? Yes, that's the intent.
I asked an either or question. So I wasn't sure. Can we just clarify? Okay.
So Joel, is it
A or B?
Intending to capture the status of administered or is it tending to capture the process of giving the medication? Joel, do you know?
I think my understanding is that it's intended to capture the status of it having been administered. And that's what I was responding to. I apologize. I didn't see the or statement coming after that.
Okay.
So that sounds like what Shelley was describing then.
Fantastic. And then Hans?
Thank you. A couple of thoughts and comments here. Medication administration has been very confusing because if you look at the current definition of procedure and the data elements in it, it might be implied, and there have been confusion around, the fact that the medication administration date time is given as an example of procedure performance date time. Does that mean that USCDI implies that an actual medication administration record is implied in that? And so far we have heard, no, that's not really the intent. And I think it points to the larger question for USCDI that there are in lab, there are in medication, there's for imaging, there are different phases. What's the order? What's the schedule? What's the performance? And you have different documentation requirements around these. And those are kind of a little bit muddled within USCDI at this point in time. If we talk about medication administration route, is it the route that has been requested to be used or one of the options that can be used? Or is it meant to be the actual route used at the time of the medication administration? I really would strongly urge that we make a distinction in those areas explicitly in USCDI. Otherwise, we keep on going back and forth on these discussions. What is it? And recognize that there are workflow stages and performance stages that you go through, and that we call that out and say, we are currently interested in the request part, the order part, or we are currently interested in the administration part of it. It's all comes together that they are have common data around medication or around lab or around imaging, but there are different aspects that you need to highlight, different data that is relevant in that context. That's how systems currently work. That's how they communicate. That's how they interop with version 2 or NCPDP. And we need to recognize that. Otherwise, we will constantly go back and forth on this conversation. What do we really mean? And there is a valid perspective that we need to have medication administration. We need to have a lab result, as we need to have a lab order. Some of the other discussions that we're talking about is that to recognize is that there is ordering information that is consistent across all orders. Doesn't matter what you do. But then there's unique information to a medication versus a lab versus an image, et cetera. How do we recognize that? Otherwise, USCDI is a very ambiguous tool that once we get to fire US score, CCDA, whatever, we have to tease that out. And we come to a conclusion on what was the intent. And we put in then at that point in time what it is, but we maintain a disconnect between what USCDI seems to imply and what we actually are doing. So from that perspective, I really urge that we are going to be explicit about it and recognize those phases so that then we use medication administration in a way that I understand whether Joel is asking for a status or the date and time or whatever it is. At this point in time, I'm getting lost between what aspects are we truly talking about.
I'm going to state that because we have a few minutes before we actually have to go to public comment very shortly. I feel like we all recognize that these are important. I feel like we need to make sure that the recommendation is clear enough to help us understand how to implement. And so I'm trying to hold space for the fact that we are due to give our transmittal letter to HITECH, and we haven't yet delved into the complexity of these. So Rochelle, any final thoughts on this?
Looking at Steve's comment, and he brings up a very valid point, which is part of what I was saying within the nursing process. A lot of these data elements that you're trying to capture, is it a validation that the patient actually took the medication? What is the ultimate intent and goal as we go through these data element captures? And a lot of this information is captured and contained within the clinical nursing documentation sphere. And is that included as part of the process of where we point to look to incorporate this information? And if it is, I think that's one of the very first things I brought up as we began this process of including the nursing notes as part of that data capture element. And is this already addressed elsewhere?
We have to go to public comment, and I believe it is seems like we're landing on needing the April 9th meeting. Mark, can you help me understand what you were mentioning there?
Yeah, as you said, Sarah, we don't really have the details of even the basic details of a recommendation. So if we can, we would meet on the 9th and add just a little piece. I mean, the basic letter would go, but so they'd have most of it, but we would add a little something. I don't know if that's possible. That's why I wrote if possible. I don't know if there's some timeline requirements that make that doable or not.
Yeah, we also didn't. I think Al, can you, let's do public comment and then maybe Al can help us with process because we might have some time at the end.
So public comment first or my response
just
first?
The fact that let's do public comment first and then and then you cycle through.
All right, Estelle, can you please open for public comment? So if you are on the Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand function. That's located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you are only on the phone, then you can press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, you can press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So we'll give folks 30 seconds here to tee up. Okay, I am not seeing any hands raised. Estelle, do we have anyone on the line?
No comments.
All right, thank you. Sarah, back to you.
Actually, back to Al. just to level set, we have a good set of content for an initial transmittal letter based on the extensive work that you all have done, and we're incredibly grateful. There are the general recommendations and general process elements to discuss that that Hans, I promised Hans we'd get to, but we did not get to them. And then we also need to figure out what to do with the elements that are at the bottom of the worksheet that we have yet to address yet. So it seems like Al, can you help walk us through possible process, like send the transmittal letter and then reconvene on the 9th? Like we work at the discretion of ONC, so we need to have assistance in figuring out what the next steps would be.
Yeah, so it might be difficult to, might not be advisable to send the high-tech, co-chairs two versions of a letter. Because presumably they would have to review both of them entirely. Even if one only has one edit. So the alternative would be to deliver it very late, but which is a possibility. It's just we obviously try and get the public materials out, 3 days or so before the scheduled meeting. So that would be a possibility, and we can certainly have the letter written all but these last recommendations, and then finalize it on the 9th at the meeting, send it later on the 9th in a final copy. It might require some additional co-chair work later in the day, possibly, just because the finalized letter is going to take some time to put together.
Can I ask a question? Is the work group content with, again, we did not, unfortunately, the elements at the bottom were, we got clarification on the one that was originally at the top on level 2 medication administration. Would the worker be content with sending it as it is and then holding elements that were not addressed till next year? It is the discretion that our core charge was complete, which is the USCD IV-5. We've not addressed everything in the level 2 suggestions. We could call it sufficient, but we've not addressed Hans's general recommendations comments. Hans,
Yeah, I was just want to make a comment about that because there's some, and actually medication administration is a good example of what we're seeing that that we made some comments about last year, and it continues to have a need for addressing to make USCDI more or less ambiguous and more in line with the standards that flow a year later. So I think there's still an important part of the general process to have a look at. If they can still be discussed next week and then added, they are very much a continuation of the recommendations that HITECH has been made before. It would be a challenge in some ways that they would drop out this year on helping to make USCDI more useful than what it is.
Understood. So I just need to, again, we've completed Stephen, your comment. I know we're over time here. So I don't know if Ike has a suggestion, but can we just have a show of hands for those of us who want to reconvene on the 9th?
Well, before we do that, let me pose my suggestion. Do we have enough text together that the co-chairs can work with Al to put together a draft letter in the next couple of days and circulate that via mail for circulation and decision making via email, say Thursday or Friday, and then get it in electronically that way? Or do we have a bunch that we actually still need to discuss?
We have a lot we've agreed on that is the core part of a letter. We just have not discussed a few things. Seth?
Yeah, I just wanted to provide clarity. From a process standpoint, we wouldn't want to be working offline without having the opportunity to bring things back to the work group next week.
Okay. And including public comment on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to go back. So we have two options. Submit it as because we have to work in correct formats. And I apologize for being over time here. One is to, first option is to say that we didn't fully address level two elements, but we're submitting the final letter as it stands right now. And we will move discussion of the things we did not address to next year. And so we're gonna have a show of hands on that one. And then the second is to come back on the 9th, complete the public process and do a late transmittal. All understanding of the labor of co-chairs noted as I am in both spaces. So acknowledging my labor in the second one. Option number one, show of hands, please. Submit as it stands. Option number two, come back on the 9th and revisit. I don't see all members voting, but it's clearly, I see a lot. Okay, so I see a clear consensus for the 9th version. I'm gonna close this out with a directive. There is not sufficient information in the level two elements. So the charge was last time that if there was a level two element that we wanted to have, it had to have a robust recommendation in the column to proceed. The level two elements we were just discussing do not have that. So that is the charge before we come back next week. There needs to be sufficient clear recommendations so that we come back just to touch base on those. And if I can be clear about that directive, that'd be great. Ike?
Agreed.
Okay, thank you so much. Again, we'll see you next week. And maybe we won't have to have the whole meeting. And then Hans, we promise to start with the process things first. Thank you so much.